church. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Can I have all y'all stand up? We want to welcome all of our first-time guests. Welcome, City Heights. Let's give City Heights a big hand. What's up? You want to welcome Chula Vista, El Cajon, San Marcos, Oahu. Oahu's getting a new building today. God bless y'all out there. Amen. And if you're watching online, they're at the Dole Cannery out there in Honolulu, which is where I wish I was. But God bless y'all. Pastor Travis is out there working hard for the Lord in Hawaii. Yeah, whatever. And if you haven't heard, in Chula Vista, we have a new, we signed a lease for a new building down in Chula Vista. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's go. I want to pray for y'all that God would prepare your mind. We're going to do a little thinking today, something that may be new to you. Since the miracle Sunday, God's been challenging me to pray for a miracle every Sunday. Specifically, now we always have miracles happen, lives, transformations and miracles, but to pray for something specific. And my prayer today was that God would prepare your mind to process the information in a way that you can use it in sharing your faith. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would develop the mind of Christ, accelerate the process of the development of the mind of Christ in all of us, that we may process this information, that it would be such common sense to us, that we'd be able to use it even today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready. Please turn to 1 Peter 3. I'm going to ask y'all a series of questions, and I want you to answer yes or no. You do not have to answer out loud. Watch how many people answer out loud. Guaranteed. Watch this. Don't answer out loud. Watch somebody answer out loud. Okay. No, you don't have to answer out loud. I just want you to, in your mind, if you want to, you know, whatever. And then I'm going to ask you another question. So, series of questions. Number one, is murder wrong? It's okay. It's really okay. Is adultery wrong? Is child abuse wrong? Is racism wrong? And by the way, racism is global. It's not an American white, black thing. It's global. Black on black, dark on light. It's global. So just to set the record straight. Is pedophilia wrong? Okay, great. So pretty much we agree those things are wrong. Some of you may say, well, it's cultural. We'll get to that in a minute. We will get to that in a minute. Now the question is, why is it wrong? Now, when I ask that question today, you can't say, or you can, but the answer for this dialogue is not, it's my opinion. No one cares about your opinion. It's your opinion. So that's not a legitimate answer. Another unadvised answer is it's written in the Bible. Now, it is in the Bible, but that shouldn't be your answer because the people you're probably talking to don't believe the Bible. So how can you answer the question without simply saying it's in the Bible? For example, if my son, I said, hey, you got to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and he said, why? And I said, just because I said so. Is that the answer that would satisfy him? Or if I said, hey, look, you got an important game tomorrow. If you go to bed at 9, you get 8 hours of sleep, you're gonna be refreshed and ready to play the game. Oh, I understand now why I need to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And so what we wanna do is we wanna make sure we understand why the Bible says that. 1 Peter 3:15, look what it says. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready. Everyone say, always be ready. To give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. In other words, when people say you believe in the Bible, say yes, but let me explain to you why. Let me help you understand why murder is wrong. Let me help you understand why adultery is wrong. And help people reason and think about it. In our culture, we're starting a series today called Truth and Relativity. In our culture, the idea of morality has gotten blurred what it really means because everyone's got their own opinion. The idea of truth has gotten blurred because you have your truth, I have my truth. You've probably heard that saying before. The idea of logic and how we think about things and how we process information has gotten blurred. So what we're going to do is start a series today. We're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about today, morality. We're going to talk about in future weeks, what is truth and can truth be known? I was in a car with a guy witnessing, and he was my Uber driver, and we were going someplace, and we started talking about stuff, and he said, "Why, you can't know anything." He literally said that. I said, "Well, aren't we in the car together right now?" He said, "Maybe not." You know, I said, "Aren't your parents your parents?" He said, "Maybe not." You know, and which really could be true. Maybe they're not his parents. Maybe a stork just dropped them off. I don't know. But my point is that we're going to talk about what is truth. What is your conscience? Your conscience is a thing. It has an ability that came from somewhere. You need to understand how it functions and why you have it. Matter of fact, when it comes to truth, Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" He asked him that question. And so we're going to talk about things. Should you have blind faith or not? Some people think, "Oh, you just go to church and believe whatever they tell you." What I'm telling you is don't believe whatever I tell you. Read the Bible. Amen. Learn it yourself. Should you have blind faith just because it says? No, your faith should be based on facts. And we're going to talk about that. But today's message is called "In My Opinion." And we're going to talk about our morals and morality, right and wrong, based on opinion or fact. And by the end of today, you're going to be able to at least have more clarity on how to verify what is morally correct and what is not morally correct, and based on a truth that predates the Bible. Now, you may say that, now we're getting crazy. It's in the Bible, but it predates the Bible. Give me 30 minutes and you're going to go, "Oh yeah, of course that makes sense," okay? Let's start. Here's how we're going to frame it. We're going to talk about the difference between opinion and facts. Everyone say opinion?
Opinion.
Say facts. And then we're going to talk about morality based on opinion. It's called moral relativism. And morality based on facts, moral absolutes or moral laws. So there's opinions. Say opinions.
Opinion.
Say facts.
Facts.
Okay. Now, Genesis chapter 3. Please turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. This is where it all started, and this helps us understand why there's so much confusion. And when we understand why there's so much confusion and where the confusion came from, it'll help us to validate how we should combat the confusion. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created the heavens and earth. He created man and Eve, man and woman, Adam and Eve. And yes, I do believe in a man and a woman who started. Matter of fact, it's scientifically proven that there was a first man and a first woman. Everything that has a beginning has a beginner, and it has to go back to some beginning. You cannot have an infinite past series of events. You have to have a beginning. So it says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' The woman said, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, this is it right here, "You will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, for God knows when you do what he told you not to do, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, and you could decide good and evil on your own." When you watch the news, when you watch Instagram, all social media, when you listen to conversations, and when you listen to yourself at times, man has decided, "I am going to decide good and evil on my own," just like the devil said I could. And in doing that, I am becoming my own God. I am controlling my life. This is the basis of all sin. So we talk about morality, right and wrong. Are you basing your morality on opinion, or are you basing your morality on facts? Let's talk about opinions. Everyone say opinions.
Opinions.
Opinions are realities that exist only in our mind. They depend on our feelings, on culture, on preference, and they change with time. There was a time when I'm sure you believed something very different about God. There was a time when you believed something different about your relationships. There was probably a time when you believed something about different about sex and in your diet. And throughout our life, our opinions on things change. And they're in our mind. For example, an opinion might be pizza is the best food. This was my opinion. I used to have that opinion that pizza was the best food. Anybody agree with me? Anybody agree with me? A lot of y'all don't. Okay, some of y'all do, some of y'all don't. That used to be my opinion, but it changed. I had an opinion, well, I still do, that football is the best sport. That's my opinion. Other sports are great. I was watching the Olympics and all these sports I've never done. I just say, play something. But that's my opinion. That is in my mind. It's in my heart. It's attached to my emotion. That's opinion. That's not necessarily fact. Opinion that San Diego is the best weather. I haven't been all around the world, so I can only assume. I don't know what it's like in different countries and different cities. So it's my opinion. Again, opinions reside inside our mind and our heart. I leave, my opinion goes with me. I change. I have an experience. My opinion changes. It's fluid. It's not dependable. Everyone say, everyone clear? Everyone got it? Facts exist outside my mind. Facts remain true whether you agree with it or not. They demand that you align with them. In other words, you can't change them because they are what they are and they're not negotiable. For example, Tijuana is south of San Diego. Now, you can get drunk one day. I'm going to TJ. And you drive 5 north, I'm going to TJ. You're never going to get there. You're just not. It's a fact. So no matter what you believe, no matter what you feel, no matter what someone put in your head, you are wrong because it's a fact. It's not your opinion. The earth is round. Earth is round. It is. I know some people think the earth is flat. It ain't flat. Our body is 2/3 water. Our earth is 2/3 water. The sun is hot. I saw a report recently of these reporters on the news talking about these scientists that were making a rocket to go to the sun. And the guy reporting it said, we asked them, how are you going to go to the sun? You're going to burn up. And the guy said, we're going to go when it's nighttime. He had an opinion. But there's a fact that's going to blow his opinion up. Can I get an amen? Okay, so opinions are inside of you. They change. They're wrong. Sometimes they can align with a fact, but really opinion by fact, by definition, it's all about what's inside of me. Facts exist outside of you. They don't depend on you. They're there before you. They'll be there after you. So now let's look at how a morality that is based on opinion looks like. Because a lot of the morality that our country live by, and I would say people in the church live by, is not based on fact. It's based on opinion. I don't need to read my Bible every day. That's an opinion. That's not a fact. I don't need to pray. That's an opinion. That's not a fact. And so we're going to look at what moral relativism, it's relative to me and you. That's what moral relativism is. Moral relativism is morality based on opinion. And then we're going to compare it to morality based on fact, and then you can decide which one you want. So when someone asks you, is murder wrong, you have to ask, is their answer based on opinion, or is their answer based on fact? Is their perception based on opinion? And when you listen to people talk about everything under the sun, politics, church, that church, this pastor, this movie star, whatever it is, you should ask yourself, are they basing that on an opinion? Well, they're basing that on something that is factual. And you have to ask yourself the same question. So moral subjectivity or relativism claims that opinions determine right and wrong. So anytime you say, well, I'm a relativist, I believe moral relativism. The book of Judges tells us what happened. Book of Judges, turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges is the seventh book in the Bible from the beginning. And in Judges is a book about Israel. In the promised land, they had no king, they had no leader, and they were living a certain way based on opinion. It says in verse 10, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord. They did not know God. Problem number one. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. What they did is they did not have a leader. They did not follow God. And they started doing what was right in their own eyes. Judges chapter 17 says it very plainly. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That is the definition of moral relativism. That is the philosophy of our country. We will do what we want. We will let little babies decide when they get old enough if they're a boy or a girl. That is from the pit of hell. It's satanic. There's nothing biblical, scientific, biologically correct about that. Amen. I'll just say it as clearly as that. That is crazy. But if we're going to say you can do whatever you want. Now, do you have the freedom to do whatever you want? In theory, yes. God is saying, I give you, because I love you, the freedom to reject me. God has given you the freedom to reject him, but it will come with consequence. So having the freedom to do something doesn't mean you should do it. I could jump off the stage and land on my head, but doesn't mean I should do it. And so Judges chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So what was the result? They were sexually perverse. They had on the verge of civil war. They were chopping people up, sending them all over the place. They were serving false gods because they were all about what was right in their own eyes. If there's drama in your life, the first place you should look is to your decisions. Now, there's people who bring drama in our lives, no doubt. But it doesn't mean it has to cause you drama. You can just look at them going, you tripping. I don't need to be around you anymore. I'm gonna pray for you. Help me understand why you're acting that way. That's a decision you make. You can't control them, you can only control you. And so Israel was saying, we don't believe in God. Three reasons why moral relativism, morality based on opinion, does not work. And the reason I'm hammering this home, because we talked about in the very beginning, is murder wrong, is rape wrong, is child molester wrong, is adultery wrong, is racism wrong. We can go on and on and on. And the answer to the question is gonna be based on which morality you pick. And if morality is based on opinion, all those things are right, if that's your opinion. Number one, moral relativism refutes itself. To say there are no moral absolutes is an absolute statement. As soon as you say there are no moral absolutes, you just made an absolute statement. I was on a plane witnessing to a lady. She was a quantum mechanics physics professor in a university. Obviously knows more about science than I do, but I like to ask questions. So I'm asking, what is this, what is that, what is this, what is that? And I know a little bit of science to be able to, you know, bob and weave and get through. And then I started sharing the gospel, and that's when I was like, bam, 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 getting it, right? And she was like, you speak in such absolute language. Everything's so absolute. And I said, what's wrong with that? She said, well, things change. I said, no. Are you sure? She says, yes. I said, are you absolutely sure that I shouldn't speak absolutely? She says, absolutely. She just defeated us, her own argument. She went over here to fact. She used what she thinks is an absolute fact to prove that we shouldn't trust in absolutes. She contradicted herself. So people really don't live by that way. Moral relativism makes evil meaningless. If morality is opinion, then cries for justice are based on preference. All the different protests we've seen in the country, if morality was based on opinion, you can protest, but I don't need to listen to you, and I don't need to validate you because I may have a different opinion. But the reason people protest, and a lot of people, is because there's something going on that a lot of people agree with. Not saying they're right, but there is this idea of justice in our heart. Why? Because God is a God of justice. And so if it's just moral relativism, you can believe that, and I can believe this, and you can't tell me I'm wrong because we all have our own opinion. If morality is based on opinion. So if morality is based on opinion, you can never criticize anybody for anything. They can take your money. You can say, why are you taking my money? Because I believe it's my money. Well, how could you believe that? It's just my opinion. And they say, well, my opinion is my money. I said, well, who's gonna decide whose opinion is right? the judge. That's the problem. You have to at some point you have to get to somebody who is the ultimate decider of right and wrong. But if it's just opinion and it's just us, we can argue all day long. I was in line with Southwest Airlines, and Southwest used to have where you get a number. You know, A1 is the first person on the plane. Then A2, they don't do that anymore, but it used to be that way, like a month ago. And you get A1, you're first, then A2, you're second, A3, and on and on and on, on. So I was like A6. And we were all talking, and I said to the guy in the front, yo, and we were all talking, so it was friendly, and even though I might have said this and I didn't know him for that matter. I said, hey man, I identify as A1. Is that cool? It's like, nah, bro. So you can't just say anything. Your opinion is just about you. And so, number three, moral relativism eliminates moral progress. You cannot say society is improving unless there's a fixed moral standard upon which to improve. You can't improve anything unless you have a standard upon which to improve. I was talking to somebody the other day, they were just rude. And I said to them, you're being rude. And they went, no, I'm not. And I believe that they really believed it. To me, rude is, ah. Well, they were, ah. And that's not rude. Okay, let's establish a baseline. Because if it's just opinion, you can't ever have a conversation with anybody. Because everybody's thinking about different things. So moral relativism does not work. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:5, Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, it's backwards. Both of them are an abomination. We can't be that. We have to understand the difference between opinion and moral relativism. Everyone say opinion. And fact. Say fact. Moral relativism and moral absolute or moral law. So that doesn't work. Relativism doesn't work. And before I go into the next thing, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to the news, as you're having a conversation with your friends, ask yourself, what are they basing their argument on? Is it opinion or is it fact? Is it something they feel, something they heard, they had a bad experience, something happened they didn't like? Someone treated them. I was talking to a lady one day, and I was witnessing to her and said we're all sinners, and she said, I'm just offended you call me a sinner. I said, yeah, but you are. But so am I. So is everybody. So you kind of got to get over it. I assume you don't think you're perfect. So we have to understand when we're talking to people very gently to say, is this your opinion or are we talking about something that's factual? Now, moral relativism doesn't work. Let's talk about moral absolutes or moral law. What is a law? A scientific law is like facts exist independently of humans and are expressions of the invisible attributes of God. Work with me now because this is going to get, we're going into the ocean right now. So, God created the heavens and the earth, and when he created the heavens and the earth, he gave us the ability to reason and understand and learn. And when scientists study the heavens and the earth, science is the acquisition of knowledge through observation and experimentation. Science discovers things. It does not make things. Science discovers things. It does not make things. Now, through the knowledge of science, we can make things, but you have to observe first to understand how chemistry works, how physics works, how thermodynamics works, and then you can adjust things. But the science is the acquisition of the knowledge, the process. I'm gonna read a verse to you, two verses. It's probably the best science verse in the Bible for me. It's my opinion, right? It's my opinion, okay? Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, love, power, grace, mercy, creativity, intelligence, organizational skills, compassion, his invisible attributes, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood, science, by the things that he made, even his eternal power and Godhead and authority, so that we are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. We have no excuse. Here's what God's going to say, and I pity people who are educated, especially educated in science and biology and chemistry and physics and kinesiology, especially those people in cosmology, the people who study science, I pity them to learn all what God did and go, oh, it was an accident. God's going to be like, yo, bro, let's talk. How did you think that was an accident? I don't know if you've ever seen a baby be born. I've seen my kids be born, and I've seen a human who lived 9 months in water and never breathed a breath. Try being 9 minutes in water and not breathe a breath. 9 months in water in the womb, and then come out and go, for the first time. That's a miracle of God. Amen. That's a miracle of God. Let me get through this real quick. I'm going to give you five laws in science that reveal something about God. Law of gravity: every mass attracts another mass. This is evidence that God wants things held together. Gravity is a law. You can deny it all you want, but if you jump off a building, gravity will show you it's in control. We guide our lives and plan around gravity. The law of causality: anything that has a beginning has a beginner. This tells us God is the God who creates. By observing and studying the universe, we realize that everything that has a beginning has to have a beginner. Nothing. Everyone say nothing. Science will tell you nothing. Say nothing. Nothing begins itself. Nothing begins itself. When we get into science, we're going to talk about the Big Bang. The Big Bang and how the universe started. Well, I know God created the heavens and earth. It didn't create itself. That's a law that cannot be violated in science. Another law in science that cannot be violated, it is a fact outside of us, is the law of biogenesis. Life only comes from pre-existing life. Life does not come from non-pre-existing life. Never. So when they tell you that life came from nothing, that is a complete unscientific false statement. You've been lied to. It's unscientific. And what does that tell you? That God is the God of life. He's the life giver. The law of information. Information is always the result of an intelligent mind. Information is always the result of an intelligent mind. Do you know what's in one cell, human cell, is DNA? And DNA has a 3 billion letter sentence that is the code to make everything you are. Information. It had to come from a mind. It cannot make itself. There's no evidence anywhere scientifically of anything not intelligent making something that complex. Period. So when they tell you it just happened by accident, that's an unscientific statement. And this is the last one, the law of probability. You may have never heard this law. I don't know. It's the odds of impossibility. If you heard, so you have a 1 in 2 chance to do something, a 1 in 10 chance. If I said you had a 1 in 100 chance, I was like, I don't want to take those odds. The odds of impossibility are 1 in 150, 1 with 150 zeros. If you have a 1 in 150 chance of something, that is mathematically impossible. Everyone say impossible. That's scientific math. They did it by calculating all the atoms in the universe and they all the different chances you could have to make something, and it came up with 1 to the 10 to the 150 power, 150 zeros. Do you know the odds of one human cell coming together by itself? Is not 1 in 10, it's not 1 in 100, it's not 1 in 10 to the 100th power, it's 1 in 10 to the 195th power. Like 30% further than impossible. But yet you have 37 trillion of those in your body. Who did that? That's fact. So, where does that bring us? God created scientific laws, but he also created moral laws. And moral absolutes are expressions of the invisible attribute of God's holy character. The moral guidelines in your conscience that tell you murder's wrong, rape is wrong, adultery's wrong, are violations of the moral code that God put in your heart when he made you in his image. You can't deny it. It's through observation. There's pictures you can't look at, because it violates something God put in your heart. And the moral code that God put in your heart that come from his image predate the Bible, predate the creation of the world, because it's tied to his character, his eternal character. So when you say just the Bible says, oh, go even further back to the heart of God, that God loves you so much. Romans 2, 14 to 15. When the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having a law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Here's the quote that you need to remember if you can. Take a picture. God created us in his image to love, and his moral laws, his moral absolutes protect that love. God put it in you, and it comes from him. Yes, it was written in a book, but even before that, it was written on your heart. Matthew 22, 37 to 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor and yourself. And then it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every moral law, every civil law, every religious law is all about, can we love each other and can we love God? Murder is wrong because it violates God's moral laws designed to protect those made in his image. Genesis 9, 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood he shall be shed, for the image of God made him. Adultery is wrong because it violates God's moral laws designed to honor faithfulness in marriage. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his soul. Racism is wrong because it violates God's moral laws designed to invite all nations into a relationship with him. Do you know that God loves white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, and all the other people in the same? And your opinion about how your stuff don't sink don't mean nothing, because you're all funky. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Abuse of children is wrong because it violates God's moral laws designed to love and honor them as models of the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. I fear, man, those people who are hurting kids all around the world, because I believe there's millions and millions of kids being exploited. Oh, there's a place in hell for you, for sure, for sure. And then lastly, injustice is wrong because it violates God's, let me read that verse again. Let me back up. Matthew 18, 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see my face, the face of my Father who's in heaven. Ooh, you're abusing a kid? There's an angel going, hey, God, I got one down here for you. You know that little girl that, yes, I know who she is. You know, little boy, well, I got this 38-year-old, 48-year-old, whatever. What do you want me to do? Better watch out. Injustice is wrong because it violates God's moral laws designed to guard his role as a righteous judge. Isaiah 33, 22 says, for the Lord is our judge. Look at what the Bible says. The Lord is not our judge because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because he's our judge. The Bible came after. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. I want to just, before I pray here, I want to just make a quick point. God eternally exists. There was a time when God said time, space, and matter began, Genesis 1. But God existed eternally. And the God who exists had all these characteristics. And it was after he created the heavens and the earth, after he called Abraham, after he created the Jews, that the Bible was starting to be written. That's why I say before. But there's nothing in the Bible that's inconsistent with who he is. What we want to do is we want to understand the Bible, but more importantly, we want to know who God is. We want to understand the God that loves us, the God that has a plan for your life, because when we talk about truth in a couple weeks, we're going to realize and learn that truth is personal, one of the characteristics of truth. He wants to personalize it to you. He wants to apply his holiness to your life and your situation, whatever you're going through. That's why he's such an amazing God. It's not just these five rules. He says to us, not only do you have these five rules, but I'm going to help you understand how that rule applies to your life today. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And one of the things about God that doesn't change, it's a fact. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. His son rose from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. And he'll forgive you right now. That has never changed. That'll never go away. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you had any doubt whether God loves you, he can't not love you. And he can't love you any more than he does right now. And he can't be more excited than the opportunity to forgive you of your sin any more than he is right now. So if you would like to ask his forgiveness, I just want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I trust that you love me. I trust that you died and rose from the dead on the cross. Rose from the dead on the third day. And I trust that you're willing to forgive me. I believe it as a fact, not an opinion. So, dear God, please forgive me. Come live in my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. The enemy caught a song called Espíritu Santo. Change my life. I surrender, God. I surrender to a God who was and is to come. You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because you are the most factual fact there is. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And by standing to your feet, you are acknowledging that you are trusting in a God that is the most factual fact there is anywhere. So on the count of three, just stand to your feet. If you prayed that prayer, people are already standing. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, 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 oh. Let's go. Let's go. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Now, here's what we're going to do. Stay standing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to come out of your seat. Come on down to the altar. If you stand up, you're in the balcony, just turn around or walk up around. Let's invite all these people down to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on, church. Stay right there, okay? Just face me. Are you ready? Just face me. Just face me. Just face me. Just face me. Let's go. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's go. Let's go. What's up? How are you? How are you? How are you? Just face me. Just face this way. Face this way. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Let's go. God bless you. Come on, keep walking. How you doing? How you doing? God bless you, 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church. Let's give him a hand. Come on, church. Is it an opinion that God loves you? Nope. It's a fact. You can feel this way, and when you leave here, the devil's going to start playing with your head, and you're going to feel some kind of way. It don't change who God is. He's never going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And what he wants for your life is better than what you can ever do. Not only does he want better for you, he can do better for you. It's all good. It's a win-win. All you got to do is say, Lord, let's go. You heard the testimony here of Travis. And there's so much more to his story, as you can tell. And so much more to all of our stories. God wants to do the same thing in your life. He wants to blow your mind. And if all you have to do, it's real simple, all you have to do is say, God, this is your life. Let's say this is your life. God, it's all yours. The more you give to him, the more he will bless. But if you say, God, I'm just gonna give you Sunday from 8 to 11:30, that's not a relationship. But if you say, God, here's the thing. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's scary. I don't know. But I trust you. And God, your life will change, 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 change.